Good afternoon, everyone. We'll start the meeting. Welcome to the planning meeting of the 26th of July 2022. My name is Vicky Gould. I am the chair of the planning committee. I have on my left-hand side our legal representative, Sherry Grant. On her left, I have my democratic services officer, Monica Henchcliffe. On my right, I have planning manager, Naomi Perry. And on her right, we have our planning officer, Barbara Toy, who will be presenting the applications to us later. We are not expecting a fire alarm to go off. If it does go off, we will be leaving through the furthest door or the closest to yourselves in the audience and meeting across the car park. Can I remind you all, please, to switch your phones off so we have no distractions? And it is polite to not call out while we're having this and just have one voice at a time, please. So if I introduce, I'll get my panel to introduce themselves. If I start over with my deputy chair.
Councillor Ed Barker.
Councillor Bev Ashcroft.
Councillor Ray Faulkner.
Good afternoon, Councillor Alison Legg.
Councillor Colin Whittaker.
Councillor Louise Walker.
Councillor Sheila McKeonan.
Councillor Grenman.
Thank you, committee. We'll move on to the agenda items. Any apologies for absence, please?
We have two. We have Councillor Hall and Councillor Bray.
Thank you. Do we have any declarations of interest? Nope. Right, so I would like to propose that the minutes of the last meeting are a true record. Do I have a seconder for those then, please? Councillor Barker, thank you. Any discussion on the last minutes? Then we'll go to the vote then, please. All in favour of those minutes, please. Any against? Abstentions then, please. Thank you. So those minutes will be signed off as a true record. Thank you. And then we move on to our applications then. So our first application is P2022-0040, and I'd like to have Barbara give that to the group, please.
Thank you. Good afternoon. So the first application is for 270 Shobnal Street, application 2022-00402. The application proposal is for change of use from a house in multiple occupation, which will be referred to as HMO from here on, use class C4 to a house in multiple occupation sui generis use to accommodate up to 7 residents. This is a plan to identify the property, it being a two-storey end terraced house, currently occupied as a 5-bed, 5-person HMO, and that's been in occupation in that way since 2016. The use falls within in category use class C4 and has been undertaken under permitted development and requires no planning consent. The property has had a licence for up to 7 residents since 2019. And the proposals are to change the number of persons in the property from 5 to 7. This plan identifies both properties being considered today. So the one to the south on here is property 331 that will be considered after this one, and the one at the north is 270. So immediately to the south of 270 is a parking area which appears to be a communal parking area for use by any of the residents, used on a first come first served basis. So excuse me. So 270 is an end terraced house with a side entry immediately to the left between the parking area and the property. There is an existing shed at the bottom of the garden that is used for cycle storage, and there is bin storage both on the frontage and can also be stored to the rear of the property. A question was asked this morning at the site visit regarding 269 immediately adjacent. I have checked the history for that, and that is also an HMO which has a licence for up to 8 residents and has been licensed since 2018. This is the proposed layout for 270, exactly the same layout with no external or internal alterations over that of the existing, but bedroom 1 and bedroom 5 that are highlighted, those two rooms would move from single to double rooms. The amenity space at the rear here, that there was a question about that this morning as well. 120 square metres amenity space to the rear of 270, so the garden area, which is more than the 80 required for a 5-bed family house, so it's more than adequate amenity space. So in terms of the layout and the room sizes, the property does have its HMO licence, and therefore this indicates that all the rooms and the accommodation comply with the HMO guidelines that are adopted by e-staffs. Going from 5 to 7 residents, but no physical alterations to the building. So going through a few photographs. So end terraced house with a bay window on the frontage and a small frontage that has bins on it, as a number of the residential properties in the area. The brick wall to the side is the frontage of the car park area. So the rear garden looking back from the end towards the property, the shed in the foreground on the right-hand side, that is the cycle storage area. But, yeah, adequate amenity area. Couple of shots of the car park area looking towards the property. But, as I said, there is no dedicated spaces for anybody. It's on a first-come, first-served basis. But there is some on-street parking immediately outside the property as well. But again, first come, first served, as in any terraced street. Just a view of Shobnal Street heading north. So just going through some of the highlights of the report. County Highways have raised no objections. Environmental health, no objections that the property has an existing HMO licence for up to 7 residents, and the proposed double bedrooms meet the HMO criteria. Shobnal Parish Council have raised an objection. The increase in occupancy would worsen parking issues in the area where there's already inadequate parking provision. In terms of ward members, this application has been called into committee by Councillor Paul Walker. Neighbours, no comments have been received. In terms of policies, the NPPF, the staff's local plan, e-staff's design guide, parking SPD, housing choice, and the Shobnal neighbourhood plan. The principle of developments. The development is considered to be acceptable in principle. The HMO has operated since 2016, providing affordable accommodation for single people. The proposals will extend this to couples in the two rooms. The site is in a sustainable location close to large employment sites, providing affordable accommodation within walking distance of employment. The provision of HMO accommodation within existing residential areas allows for a mix of housing types and sizes to meet local need in compliance with Policy SP16, the local plan. Impact on visual amenity, the proposals will result in no physical changes to the property. Impact on residential amenity. The proposals will increase the number of residents from 5 to 7, but there will be no physical changes to the premises. It's considered that there would be no significant increase in noise or disturbance over that of the existing 5 residents. The property has an antisocial behaviour policy and there have been no complaints received regarding the premises. Highway matters, no additional bedrooms will be created. The property sits within a sustainable location with good bus connections and cycle storage facilities are provided for the tenants. So in conclusion, the proposals comply with the local plan, design SPD, parking standards and the NPPF. We have engaged with the applicant and agent during the course of the application. So the recommendation is for approval with conditions as per the report.
Thank you, Barbara, for that. As we have no public speakers, I would like to open the floor to our committee. Has anyone got any comments that they wish to raise at this moment? Councillor McKinnon.
Thank you. I wasn't aware I was meant to declare I was councillor for Shognell Ward, but if I'm meant to, there we are. I'm speaking as a member of the planning committee. I was very concerned about this because of the parking issues that were raised by the parish council. Also the potential for noise and the potential for antisocial behaviour, which are big problems in the area. And just the general tendency towards more HMOs in the area, more people becoming more crowded and more parking, more noise, more antisocial behaviour. I just don't want to see any of those problems exacerbated just because, you know, there's no record up to now of antisocial behaviour or any issues or people saying that people won't have cars because they're single occupancy in relatively low paid jobs on Centrum 100, for instance, doesn't mean that they won't have them as time goes on. And I mentioned this morning about, I was concerned about 2 people in the same room, the room sizes, although they're compliant, they're not very big. And what happens if 2 people are in the same room? There's the potential for couples' arguments. It could increase antisocial behaviour, it could increase in noise disturbance. What if they go on to have a child, for instance? What if it's a single person family, for instance? There could be young mums or dads even with babies crying. There is lots of potential there to increase the problems that are in that area. So for that reason, I'm not in favour of this application.
Okay, any further comments we've got from our committee? Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you, Chair. Much as I share the same reservations as Councillor McKiernan, none of those are actually planning matters and we cannot bring those into our judgment. The only issue is car parking. And as was adequately explained on the site visit, there is car parking on the front of the street. There is a little bit of a car park by the side of the property. First come, first served. If you've got a car and you can't find somewhere to park, it's not the place for you to actually go into an HMO. And it's quite easy for someone who's going to move into an HMO to make a decision. Have I got a car? Is there somewhere to park it? Oh, no, there isn't. So I'm not going to go to that HMO. And if they do actually move to the HMO, it's up to them to find somewhere to park on a busy street where there is very little parking available. It's not for us to decide as to whether that is there. We can't make a decision for them. And as I say, much as I sympathise with what Councillor McKeon has said, we just cannot take the other issues into account in terms of planning. They are not planning issues, and we can't turn it down in that respect. And I can't find any issues that suggest to me that there is any reason to actually argue against the recommendation by the planning officer. So I would recommend we accept it.
Thank you, Councillor Faulkner. So we have a proposer for this. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Ashcroft, thank you. Any further comments that we wish to make on this before I ask for the vote? No. So then I will go straight to the vote on this. All those in favour of approving this with the conditions as set out in the report, please show their hands now, please. All those against? So there are no abstentions to report. So that has been carried. Right, we'll now move on to the second application, please, Barbara, when you're ready.
Okay, so the second application this afternoon is application number P2020-00401 for 331 Shobnal Street. The application proposal is for change of use from a house in multiple occupation, use class C4, to a house in multiple occupation, sui generis use, to accommodate up to 8 residents. So the property sits within Shobnal Street. It's a two-storey mid-terraced house that was previously part of a larger care home with the adjoining properties. Was converted to a single dwelling following an approval in 2011. It currently operates as a six-bed, six-person HMO and has done since 2016 under permitted development use class C4. The property has an HMO licence for up to 8 residents since 2019. So it's a predominantly residential area, as we saw at the site visit this morning. Again, this is the plan that shows the both properties. We're now looking at the property at the southern end of the plan. So the site layout plan, so a mid-terraced house that has a shared entry between 331 and 330, leading to a yard area to the side of the wing and an amenity area to the rear. So the amenity area to the rear that was a garden area is 76 square metres, which more than meets the requirement for a four-bed house. But the cycle storage and the bin storage area are located to the side of the wing. So that's an additional area of amenity. I think there was a picnic bench there today as well. So that is additional amenity space. So there is cycle storage and adequate access to the rear and to the properties. In terms of the internal layout, so it's a six-bed property, looking at changing rooms 3 and 6 to double rooms. Both rooms more than meet the size requirement for 2 people in that room, and the property does have its license already in terms of, so it meets all the requirements for the HMO standards. There was a comment about from the parish council in terms of the bathroom facilities for bedroom 1. That isn't within the room because of the bay window. It didn't work properly, but there is a shared shower room and toilet facility on the first floor that is used by bed 1, and environmental are satisfied that that meets with their guidance and requirements. So some photographs now. It's the 331 is the central property there with the bay window, with the main entrance to the left and the shared access to the right-hand side. On-street parking bay is immediately in front of the property. Just a photograph of the rear, so the existing cycle storage that's there and picnic bench and then the bin storage and then an actual amenity space to the rear of the wing. Some pictures are either way along Shovnell Street, showing on-street parking. Then going through the main items on the report, again, County Highways have raised no objections. Environmental Health, no objections. The property does have an HMO licence for up to 8 residents. And the double rooms meet the HMO criteria. Shovnell Parish Council have raised an objection. The increase in occupancy could worsen parking issues in the area where there's already inadequate parking provision. It's also noted that the proposed plans show no access to the bathroom facilities for bedroom one, which I've just covered. Ward members, Councillor Paul Walker called the application into committee. In terms of neighbours, one objection has been received. Any increase in HMO will increase current problems, detrimental impact on the local area, parking an ongoing problem in the area, and it's against the local plan to turn houses into HMOs. The policies considered, the NPPF, eStaff's local plan, eStaff's design guide, parking SPD and Shovnell neighbourhood plan. Principle of the development. Development is considered to be acceptable in principle. The HMO has operated since 2016, providing affordable accommodation for single people. The proposals will extend this to couples. The site is in a sustainable location, close to large employment sites, providing affordable accommodation within walking distance of employment. The provision of HMO accommodation within existing residential areas allows for a mix of housing types and sizes to meet local need in compliance with policy SP16 of the local plan. Impact on visual amenity. The proposals will result in no physical changes to the property. Amenity. The proposals will increase the number of residents from 6 to 8, but there will be no physical changes to the premises. It is considered that there would be no significant increase in noise or disturbance over that of the existing 6 residents. The property has an antisocial behaviour policy and there have been no complaints received regarding the premises. In terms of highway matters, there's no additional bedrooms to be created. The property sits within a sustainable location with good bus connections and cycle storage facilities are provided for the tenants. So in conclusion, the proposals comply with the local plan, design SPD, parking standards SPD and the NPPF. There has been engagement with the applicant and the agent during the course of the application. So the recommendation is for approval with conditions as per the report.
Thank you, Barbara. We have got one speaker who would like to speak on behalf of, well, not on behalf of this application, but against this application. Mr. Geoffrey Noble, are you aware of our speaking policy?
Yes.
Okay. So you have 3 minutes and it will be timed on the screen in front of you. When you're ready to address us then, please.
Thank you. My wife and I have been residents of Shovnell Street for almost 40 years and we're absolutely appalled by the proliferation of HMOs in the street, which has degraded the whole area and continues to do so. Adding further people to the existing situation is just making a bad situation worse. We are now forced to live next door to one of the latest developments of HMOs, which causes incredible nuisance. People may not be aware of this, but they're all fitted with fire doors, which bang very loudly whenever anyone goes through. The walls are quite thin. We have constant noise from next door in the middle of the night sometimes because there are shift workers. It's not the fault of the people living there. It's the fault of whoever allowed this to happen in the first place. It really is completely unacceptable. Mercifully, the people that live there at the moment do not have cars. I have a disabled bear, so I'm a blue badge holder. There has been occasion in the past when people have parked in the bay. I accept the laws on this that they are perfectly entitled to, but I've been given that bay for a reason, and if it is abused, then that will cause tremendous problems for me. This particular property, I'm unaware, unfortunately, of the other two that you mentioned, otherwise I would have objected to those as well. I think the council needs to look at how it publicises these things. Most people are blissfully unaware that this is going on under their noses, so I think that's a point to act upon. But this particular one is different to the previous one in as much as there is not any parking adjacent. In fact, there's another house adjacent which the slamming will go straight through to, and it drives you mad. I can tell you that from personal experience. The disruption that was caused by the 6 months of conversion was bad enough, but we thought it had come to an end. It is a living nightmare. With respect to this property, it does not have adjacent parking. In fact, it is opposite a very busy corner shop where there are already massive parking issues, people parking on the pavement and on double yellow lines. This will be exacerbated by this development. Adding two people are the two last straws that will break this camel's back. I'm aware, as Councillor Raymonds has made at the point, there are limitations to what you can object upon. But I think, nonetheless, you would agree that impact upon residents and the whole community, as well as the local plan, which I stand my ground, this flies in the face of, have to be observed. There is desperate need. I'm delighted that the council has now brought in measures to limit developments in the future, but unfortunately, this appears to be a kind of backdoor plan by the developers in the meantime, to try to cram as many people in there as possible to make as much money as possible and to degrade the area further. I note that there was no complaint from neighbours. Well, it's hardly any surprise if those neighbours are already living in HMOs. They will become the majority. The street that we moved into, which was full of families from many different communities, we've all got on absolutely fine. We've had a really lovely time up until recent times of the development. It has to stop now. Two more people in any of these properties is too many, and the impact is already massive. I trust you will consider what I've said very, very carefully. I am one of many.
Thank you, Mr. Noble, for your words. Okay, I would like to throw this open then to our committee. Who would like to speak first? Councillor McKiernan.
Do you want me to go first again? Well, you've heard there from Mr. Noble that there are a lot of problems in the area. It just seems a shame to me that the residents don't want the proliferation of HMOs. The neighbourhood plan doesn't want the proliferation with all the problems they bring. Even the council is making moves with Article 4 to put some restrictions in place, and yet we're told here today we can't do anything about it. I think we should be able to vote against it, safe in the knowledge that we will be backed up. And I just don't think that is the case at the moment. I think people do sympathise with the residents, but it just seems to me that if we're led always by the rules, then we're not going to be able to influence our own area. And what's the point of us being elected? I cannot see the point of it even coming to planning if, in fact, we have no say whatsoever.
If I can stop you there, we have all obviously had our training in planning matters, and whilst we understand that some of this is quite emotive, we have to stick with what is allowed through planning regulations. Otherwise, we do have legal contest on what we do. It would be nice to be able to say we could change things here in our committee, but there is a forum for that, and that is to change our planning policy and to get involved in that side. We go with what we have in front of us, and we go with the planning merits of each case. Would anyone like to come back from the panel first? Yeah.
With respect, you know, we can make our own minds up. It may go to appeal. That, you know, there are risks, I understand that. But we mustn't be constrained by the fear of we mustn't break the rules.
I just really wanted to give you some clarity, particularly on this application, because that's what before us. I think we're all aware we've got the Article 4
to deal with that. So I think what the Chair was saying is that we're putting in place measures that obviously will give you more powers, and obviously everything will have to come before you once that actually takes effect. So that but obviously that takes a process and that takes a time. This particular application, it is already an HMO, so you're not actually dealing it from sort of ground base level. You're just looking at what is the impact on planning terms on the residential amenity, on highways. Those are the issues that you have to look at. So, okay, you're right, it is policy, but you can only focus on those matters, and you're looking at, you've got an existing HMO, we've got, is it two more residents that are going to take part in this HMO? So you're looking at that impact, you look in purely in planning terms. I just wanted to just clarify that I feel that obviously HMOs is an emotive subject. We're dealing with it as a council, but in this particular issue, we need to focus it on, we're looking at those two extra persons within an existing establishment and what that impact is in terms of planning. Thank you. I've got Councillor Barker next and then Councillor Faulkner.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yes, I can sympathise with Mr Noble and everything that Councillor McKeon has said, but I think Sherry has just pointed out a vital point. We've got the rules that we've got at the minute, and it's up to us as councillors to change those rules to make them into what we want them to be in the future. And I've already organised a meeting with the leader of the council straight after this planning committee to go and see how we can strengthen these things up to sort of accommodate that. So I think that's the best we can do. We can only judge on the rules that we've got, on the information before us, and I can't see any way that we can object following those rules. Thank you.
Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you, Chair. To be perfectly honest, we consider every case very, very carefully. I was the portfolio holder who introduced the Section 4 for HMOs, which were restricted in the future. However, we can't introduce them immediately. They have to be in place for, the order has to be in place for 12 months before it can be actioned. So it won't come into effect until March next year. And whilst that is in place until March next year, there is nothing that we can do to prevent this kind of thing happening. In fact, even with a Section 4 in place, it will not prevent these kind of things happening if there are no planning regulations that will prevent it. It just makes it a lot more difficult for people to actually introduce HMOs because they have to come in front of planning every time, whereas in the past they didn't. So that is the measure of what we're trying to do. We're trying to work within the statutes of British law, UK law, and planning law, and the National Policy Planning Framework. And please don't think that we actually do this wanting to do it. It's because there is no planning reason why we can't do it. If there was a good planning reason why we couldn't do it, we would turn it down immediately. But because the issues that you talk about don't come under planning legislation framework, we can't actually take them into account, and I'm really sorry about that. That's all I need to say. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Walker.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to reiterate what Councillor McKeon said. I'd like to thank Mr Noble for coming in, because it seems like he's come in, he's took his time, but there's absolutely nothing he can do or speak up to say anything on his behalf. Parking up that end of Shobnal Street is absolutely horrendous. People park on the pavements down St Paul Street West. You can't move. The buses can't get round the corner. I've witnessed it on lots of occasions. There is a crisis there, and I think that should be taken into consideration more for this end of Shobnal Street, because it's far, far worse for the residents than the opposite end. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Councillor Whittaker.
Thank you, Chair. I was pleased that Councillor Barker said he was having a meeting over this, because he's saying it's one thing having Article 4, but unless you've got some good policies there to actually defend when it comes to tuition, I think we should be working on those policies straight away. So when the Article 4 takes information, you've got policies there, and then you haven't got another 12 months after that to allow people to jump onto this and to exacerbate the area and the conditions and whatever's coming forward. So So I sympathise with you because what's happening is driving a lot of sort of the families out who have lived all their lives, and if not, danger to be oversaturated, and it's not a good position. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Whittaker. Any further comments that we wish to make at this time? Councillor McKinnon.
Yes, I mean, I know we're constrained by the rules, but I still think that we can make our own minds up as councillors, apart from what's recommended by the officers, who do it all in good faith. I do understand that. It's telling that the applicant isn't here this afternoon. That does suggest to me that they're trying it on somewhat. There are other things going on as well. As we know, selective licensing will be brought into Shobnell Street before too long. It occurs to me that trying to cram some more people in to get some more money to offset the selective licensing fee may be what they're trying to do. I don't know. Okay. I'm just really glad that Article 4 is coming in next year. And I sit on the development plan committee, and we will be bringing a local plan in the next few years, and we will work together to make sure that HMOs are constrained and don't proliferate in the areas where we don't want them.
Thank you again for your comments. Anything further then? Okay. So with nothing further, I would like to propose that we accept the recommendation to approve this with the conditions attached as per the report. Do I have a seconder for that then, please? Councillor Barker. Without any further discussion then, we'll move straight to the vote. All those in favour of accepting this proposal and accepting it with the conditions attached? Those against? And there'll be no abstentions this time. So that has been approved. We'll now continue with the rest of our agenda. So agenda item 6, can I request that members have considered the appeals that have been received and determined? Thank you. Item 7, can I request that you have considered the planning permissions that were circulated? Thank you. So now I will move into the private section. And I'll just find my words. Yeah, go. So I would like to move that in accordance with Section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely, in view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraphs of Part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before each item number on the agenda.